This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. Happy Monday. It's 8.04. It's going to be lovely today. This part of the show is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. So this week we have a lot going on. We've been talking about this trip to Las Vegas that we're doing for the SPF Festival. There's various hours throughout the day to listen to for that. But we're also doing Taylor Swift tickets for her show at Levi Stadium on May 11th.
That's coming right up.
It is. So 9 o'clock this morning, 9,
12,
noon,
3, and 4.
So kind of alternate hours from the other contest.
Gotta pay attention if you want to win stuff.
That's right. Ah!
Whoa!
Taylor Swift, Levi Stadium, May 11th. About an hour from now, we'll have your first chance today at the tickets.
That video is really good for that song, by the way. She's on a motorcycle. She's on a yacht. She's like in London and Tokyo.
Gosh, where isn't she? She's amazing.
Only thing missing from that video is a grill, but outside of that, it's good.
A grill?
Yeah.
Like for her teeth?
Yeah. It's not funny.
That's pretty funny.
It is. I'm sure if we knew the video. I don't know the video, so I can't place it.
No freezers, no microwaves, no heat lamps ever at In-N-Out Burger. Always fresh is the only way. Come taste the In-N-Out difference. A couple of deaths that I want to quickly mention in case you didn't hear us. I mean, if you really want to hear us talking about these things, go back and listen to the 6 o'clock podcast. We podcast the whole show. Vern Troyer passed away on Saturday at the age of 49. I don't have any official word on a cause of death, but a statement on his social media accounts suggests that it had to do with his battles with depression and alcoholism. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, he was checked in for alcohol poisoning to the hospital. So he's and it's actually a pretty fairly well documented thing that he was having problems with that, and they go on to talk about his career. But we've spent a lot of time talking about that today. Rest in peace to Vern Troyer. Also, Swedish DJ Avicii died on Friday on 420, at 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He also had some alcohol problems, but he had acute pancreatitis. Had like his gallbladder and appendix out a few years back. I had crippling anxiety. Like, he didn't tour anymore. He just made, I think in 2016, he just said, you know what, I'm done with that. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. But they actually credit him with bringing EDM music to the forefront with some of the songs that he made. He's a Swedish guy.
Did your kid have any reaction?
Oh, yeah. He was super bummed out. Like, my kid actually loved Avicii. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You know, EDM, man.
I thought about him immediately.
So if we get more info on either of those deaths, we'll bring it right to you. But, so Wake Me Up is the song that we used to play here all the time. So that's not him singing or anything, but he would put together all these tracks and he worked with everyone. In fact, he said his net worth is something like $85 million, which is a ton of money.
It's weird because his music doesn't touch me at all, but I bet this is one of the first young sort of the kids coming up. This is the first artist they've had to deal with losing,
sure, right?
You know, the same way we lost Kurt or
right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, does he join?
No, he's 28.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people, I saw a lot of like social media stuff where it was like, oh, he made it past the, the dreaded 27. We thought he was okay.
Mm.
The 27 Club kids.
But you say he worked with a lot of people too. I bet he didn't work with them directly.
I agree. I'm sure it was a track-based situation here. Cut a track for this song and,
It depends. In some cases he did. Like he was with
Chris
Martin.
Oh, that's
right.
You watched this Netflix special on him.
Chris Martin from Coldplay was like, he stops in the middle of like them working. And he's like, dude, you're an effing genius. You're an effing genius. And he's like, yeah. But do you want this to go first or after? He's like super business. And everybody's just like so stunned how how like his orchestra in his head right. is going. Like he's really just.
Yeah, you seem to really love this documentary. So they've. It sounds like after his death, they pulled it from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone from Netflix is listening, we'd love to know if the plan is to bring that back, because now is when we all are interested in seeing this.
I'll look on my thing and see if it's there.
Yeah. But Brittany, you said you watched it maybe beginning of April.
Yes.
Did you just sort of randomly see it?
No, I actually like Avicii. You know, I like following these stories of how you know, these struggling artists come up. He was like 18 when he first broke through, you know.
Right.
He was doing what your son did, basically posting a bunch of songs to SoundCloud
right.
and YouTube, and then people discovered him. He actually reached out to his favorite DJ and asked for some input. Said, hey, check this out, and gave me some advice on it. And then next thing you know, this DJ was being interviewed in the documentary and says, he started giving me like 5 or 6 tracks a week. And I couldn't like, you know, wrap my head around how fast this kid was producing music. So
it was just flowing out of him.
Yeah, he was just a music machine.
Mm. So rest in peace, Avicii.
It looks like, Bryn, was it called True Stories?
Yes.
It was originally released on October 26th of last year in theaters. Select theaters. And then they re-released it, like Bryn said, a week or two. A couple weeks, Bryn? Has it been?
Yeah, it was the beginning of April.
Ago, they pulled it and not sure when they're going to put it back out there.
Yeah, I don't see it
there. So on Fridays, new music comes out, and then a week and a half later on the Monday, we hear how everything charted. So I would like to say that for the first time that I can remember in years, it's been 100 years since Ed Sheeran was not in the top 10 on the album charts.
Oh, no.
It's the first thing I look at every week. I'm like, is Ed Sheeran still on there? Ed is, let me just double check. Jesus. Nope, he has fallen off the track, off the top 10.
Oh, no.
Well, it's good, you know. It's time for him to, you know, he's got to get back in the studio and make more music. So here we go. Culture 2 from Migos is in 8th place, 36,000 copies.
Man, these guys got roasted on their performance at Coachella.
Oh, what did people say?
That they were garbage.
Oh.
Who is it again?
Migos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter... You know how Twitter can just be so ruthless.
Yes.
And as long as it's not aimed at you,
it's great.
It's hysterical.
Right.
And man, I don't have it off the top of my head, but they were just ruthless, which is, man, I came all the way here for this, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
I actually have a few Coachella things that I'll get
good.
In a minute. I don't have anything about. I didn't hear anything about their set.
They were apparently awful.
It was all about Beyonce and Cardi B. At number 7 is Question Mark by XXXTentacion, 40,000 copies. The Weeknd's My Dear Melancholy is 6th place with 44,000 copies. You know, a week and a half ago, I was actually like, I don't know, should I play some songs from this guy? John Prine debuted in 5th place. The Tree of Forgiveness. I only know about him because I had a friend who was the huge, like he would try to convert, he'd run into people on the street and be trying to tell them about John Prine. Like, oh my God, please stop talking to him. John Prine's record sold 54,000 copies, good for 5th place. He debuts there. Coming in at number 4 is Human's favorite record of all time.
Here we go.
The Greatest Showman soundtrack.
Here I come, beat that drum.
Go, Human.
To beat me. I'm not, no apologies, this is me.
77,000 copies of that. Man, that thing is flat. It's still selling that many copies. Is the thing still in movie theaters even?
No, I think you can see it on demand now. Mm. It's such a good film.
Debuting in 3rd place is the new one from Breaking Benjamin, 88,000 copies of Ember.
Wow, that's fun.
Is he just saying raw? Like raw, raw, raw.
I forget what he says. I looked it up though.
Might be raw, like, you know,
like
uncooked
go.
Meat.
Oh, raw, like, oh. Uh-huh. Might be row, like pull. Number 2 is Cardi B. She sold another 129,000 copies of Invasion of Privacy.
Oh, does this mean what I think it means?
What do you think it means?
Is the long shot number 1? Oh, that's awesome. What? They're not number 1?
The long shot. That's Billy Joe's side project.
Yeah.
That is not in the top 10.
Oh.
I'm sure it's charted somewhere. It's sold.
Oh, does that mean A Perfect Circle is number 1?
Didn't that just come out this past week?
No. Yeah.
That was a week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was last week, yeah, that A Perfect Circle came out. right?
So they're number one.
Yeah, last Friday, a few
days ago. No, so we won't know about them until next week.
3 days ago.
Boy. Yeah. All right. Well, I bought both those.
Your new number one.
Yeah.
Debuting in first place.
Yeah.
Jason Aldean, Rear View Town, sold 183,000 copies. There you go. That's the number one record in America at this moment. Jason Aldean. Did you like the new Fiona Apple song? I haven't heard this yet, but I know I love her. I see that your face has lit up, Vinny.
She's back?
We have a new Fiona Apple song.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I thought it was fine.
It's
very slow.
That's hardly a good review.
Well, the thing is, I'm not a huge fan of hers in general. I grew up listening to
what's
her.
What's the matter with you?
No, it's not
you
like
broken I broken inside?
I didn't mean like I don't like her. I just didn't grow up listening to her or don't know much about her. So I thought this song is just kind of slow. And if you like her, then I'm sure you'll love this.
You love slow songs, though. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're like an R&B god.
Yes, that's true.
You could sing Mama right now.
Yeah, I could sing
Mama. I know you could.
Do it.
Mama, you know I love you. Ooh, you know I love you, Mama. Mama, you're the queen of my heart. Your love is like tears from the start. Okay, there you go.
Yay!
See? You love slow songs.
I actually can't. I'm surprised I remembered all that.
That is great. Wow, what range. This is a song called I Can't Wait to Meet You, and you sing it to your unborn baby.
Oh.
So the songwriters, this is, I guess, Carnegie Hall's Lullaby Project collects poems by pregnant women and new parents to turn them into music to help with the help from artists like Catherine Zeta-Jones, she's an artist. Roseanne Cash, Natalie Merchant. Anyway, so I guess it looks like some people wrote the poem, and Fiona Apple set it to music.
Oh, cool.
Or at least that's what I'm understanding.
Guitar?
Mm-hmm. That's so pretty.
It's really sweet.
That is so sweet.
You like that?
Yes. Well,
it's not
going to
be something any like.
No, it's not going to be a hit song, but it's a super sweet thing. I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. You know, as you when you're pregnant, it's like all you can think is, oh, "I can't wait to meet you."
Needs a little peach.
So this is on the Hopes and Dreams, the Lullaby Project. It's called, and it is available now. Hopes and Dreams arrived on April 20th. So.
It is the weirdest thing that there's a person inside somebody's stomach.
I know. We
it's
grow
so
each other. It's a very weird thing.
And when she starts kicking.
Oh, can you feel it all the time now?
Come here. Put your hand right here. And there's kicking and you're just like, that poor thing's stuck in there.
She doesn't know she's happy. And
I know. She's cool. But it's just so weird. Like,
Mom is protecting
you're
her.
In there with all the guts.
Yeah, she's not touching the guts, though. It's okay.
I know, but it's just
little...
so weird.
And your own pee.
Yes, that is true. Most of the amniotic fluid is the pee. Yeah. It's good times.
She didn't know any better.
Nah.
No, she doesn't.
Perfectly fine. Anyway, there you go. That's Fiona Apple's new song.
Neat.
Hooman asked for the movie chart.
Sure did.
Last night, the missus went out at 8:15-ish.
P.M.
After our kid was down, she's like, I have to go see Ready Player One. Oh. I can't wait another day.
I saw it again.
I've had it. And so she went and saw it. And the review was, I liked the book better.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I just
the movie's
went,
good.
You know what?
But
you got to not
great.
Read the book for the movie to be
yes.
worthwhile.
If you you guys really like the movie. But
the movie doesn't hold up a second time. I fell asleep the second time I watched it. I was like,
yeah, but you fall asleep in movies all the time.
Well, I'm just saying it didn't hold my interest the second time.
All right.
First time, it's good. It's a good first time, one time movie.
Visually stunning, too.
Yeah.
It's very
there's
exciting.
There's a lot going on.
Second
sure.
time, not so much.
But the book is amazing. Okay, here we go with the box office. Let's see. Ready Player One is in sixth place with $7.5 million. It's made $126 million in 4 weeks, so congratulations to them. Did you just want to hear the new ones and where they all came in?
I want to hear what number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are.
You got it. Number one is A Quiet Place.
The one you don't want to watch.
It jumped back up. This is its third week out. It made $22 million. It's broken. Let's see. It's doing better than Ready Player One. It's made $132 million in 3 weeks. Rampage is number two, $21 million. That's the Rock. And that's made $66 million in 2 weeks. The new movies this week are number three, I Feel Pretty. Amy Schumer's movie made $16 million. Number four is the Super Troopers 2. That debuted in fourth place with $14 million. And the only other new one on here is number nine, Traffic, with a K at the end, Traffic.
Oh, huh.
Huh. It made $3.9 million.
Well, I just want to tell you this week, everyone, arguably the most anticipated film of the year.
You always say that.
Avengers Infinity War. And it's going to be a triple three-way movie review. Me, Rudy, and Bryn.
Oh, so Bryn wants to go to this.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to watch it. I'll just sit by and listen to you guys review it.
Do you have to bring Diamond with you?
No, I'm requesting that I... Never mind, I'm not going to talk about it.
What?
We can't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, I can't say anything. I'll talk to you.
He wants a day off.
No, it's not.
No, he wants to bring someone.
Who are you trying to bring?
Who am I going to tell you the reason why later?
Is it a girl?
Is Diamond okay?
No, Diamond's great. Yeah, no, Diamond's all perfect. Right. I thought about... I was, like, going to say something, but I realized, like... You know, embargoes and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
this one has a million embargoes.
There's always a million rules with these screenings that they go to.
Oh, so they're like, the no one-year-olds, don't bring Diamond?
No. That's not the case.
No kids named Diamond?
Right.
They just don't want to give him another seat.
Yeah.
On 420, Eminem celebrated 10 years of sobriety.
Wow, good for him.
Good for him.
He made the announcement on social media, posting a photo of a 10-year sobriety coin. Let's see. He was hooked on... Vicodin, Valium, and Ambien. Ugh. Valium and Ambien. Mm.
That's a lot of
anyway,
stuff.
I know. Well, anyway, 10 years sober.
Good for him.
At Coachella over the weekend, there was this kind of a funny moment. The funniest part to me is that the guy who filmed it is going, ha, 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 as it happens. So Beyonce had a bunch, you know, she's the queen of the show. And I don't know if she had Destiny's Child on again.
She did.
Okay. So same show basically as last week. And her sister Solange came
out
there.
She brought in another dude. I forgot his name. But a few changes, tweaks. But,
okay.
And outfit changes.
Well, it had to be amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she and her sister, and they've got a million dancers on stage with them too. But Solange comes out there and Beyonce and Solange are doing what they do. And I guess at one point, like, Beyonce's trying to pick up Solange.
Yeah, like Solange, like a hug
and a pickup,
something,
and
they
just fall. they both go down. It's not pretty. Beyonce just sort of gets back up, but Solange lays on her back, kicking her feet in the air.
Oh, they're just partying.
Yeah,
that's neat.
Having a ball. Just a little wipeout. But can you play the audio from the guy? Give it up on my sister.
Yeah, that was a bad pickup, though. That's all Beyonce's fault.
Yeah,
put her arms around her to lift, and then dropped her right down.
Yep.
What the heck?
Well, she's wearing like 4-inch heels, though.
Yeah.
That
all right.
Doesn't
but,
help.
You know,
so don't pick anybody up.
Right.
Try a high five.
It's a bad idea.
Works.
Right. So that was the big takeaway from that concert. It was amazing, I'm sure. Jay-Z was there, and Cardi B was also one of the performers, and I guess that Beyonce was on stage, and he walked over to Cardi B. She's actually seated. I don't know if you can see her in this picture, because she's heavily pregnant. And he appeared to give her and her forthcoming baby a little blessing, a belly rub, and prayer hands.
Huh.
So he was spotted up close with Cardi in the artist section. This was early Sunday morning around 12:45 after he'd performed a duet with Beyonce on stage.
I like his hair like that.
Can I see it? I didn't even look at it. I was looking at Cardi B.
It's got it grown out a little bit.
Oh, it is getting kind of long.
It looks good.
Yeah. That does look good. But anyway, they just had looks like they're having a happy moment there. He affectionately grabbed her by the arms and put his hands on top of the pregnancy. She was seated because she's, you know, she wants to sit.
Right.
She's heavy right now.
I got one of those at home right now.
You know what? Could I just sit down?
Hear it quite a bit. She yells for me from downstairs. This is the missus. She's, I think, 5 months pregnant. Yells for me from downstairs. Can you help me? All right, I'll be down in a second. I get down there, and she goes, can you just rub my butt right here?
Oh.
She's, like, laid on her side. Right. Just like that. Harder. Ow! Like that. It's a whole thing, the pregnancy thing. It's really...
That's nice that you're a supportive partner.
I'm
she can call you to come and rub her down.
That anyone would want to go to Coachella in that condition, I guess, is the point of the story.
Right.
Because just being at home is a thing.
Maybe Cardi B goes with like one of those traveling float tanks. I always thought that, or whatever those are called, isolation tanks. sensory deprivation tanks. I always thought when I was pregnant, like what you'd really want is, because it's so hard to get comfortable anywhere. Like if you have one of those tanks, you could just get in it and just be floating and just let everything relax, because God, just moving is torture. That's very nice of you to go in rubber pack for.
Well, that was
really sweet.
Thanks. That wasn't really the point. The point is I'm shocked she's at Coachella.
Yeah.
In that condition.
She's probably thinking to herself, Beyonce was right. Canceling would have been the thing to do. That would have been great. Yeah, because she's looking pretty big, actually. And I think I don't know how far along she is.
I don't know.
But it seems like further than 5 months, because when she did finally reveal the baby bump, significant.
It was,
yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the trash. What's coming up, Ben?
Well, I've got a bunch of updates. The world's oldest person.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
You know, right. I don't know. I got a bunch of stuff after these. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice's annual best mom ever contest is back. Alice's 97.3. Hi there. Thanks for joining us this morning. If there are any moms out there who are just killing it, well, first of all,
kill it.
Okay. First of all, thank you.
Way to go, Mom.
Secondly, if you know this person, nominate them. Go to RadioAlice.com and nominate a mom. Anybody can nominate. You can even nominate yourself. I mean, look, no rules here. Anybody who's a mom can get nominated. One nominee will receive they'll be the winner, and they'll receive a two-night stay at Carmel Valley Ranch from our friends at the Bay Club. Plus, we'll name the station after this special mom on Mother's Day. To enter, go to RadioAlice.com. Tell us in 25 words or less why the mom you're nominating is the best mom ever. We'll choose the winning mom based on the most believable, sincere, compelling, and original written entry. All day on Mother's Day, Alice will be all about the best mom ever.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by RadioAlice.com. Our station's website is a great way to connect. You can watch the show here or there. Through the looking glass, we are on.
Hey.
How you doing? Normally, you only get to catch the top of my head because I'm trying to, but.
Right now, you're looking up at the camera. Right.
Here's what's happening.
I'm ready.
I'm going to read you a couple texts first. 408 says, Vinny, if you were at Walgreens at 8 o'clock last night getting a battery for your fan and the missus was at Ready Player One, then who was with your kid? I ran out to get a battery while she sat in her car in the driveway or in the garage waiting for me to pull back in, and then she pulled out.
Oh.
It's funny that someone listened so closely to my evening last night, but that's the way that went down.
You figured it out.
I had to get the battery. She was going to a movie, and it turns out she wasn't.
Did she meet up with some friends there, or she
A friend of hers, yeah.
Thought maybe she just was like, the hell with it, I'm going by myself.
No. Her and Lisa, an old neighbor. A friend from our old neighborhood. Yay! Not an old... Didn't come
An old
right.
woman.
Yeah, not that.
Lives in a shoe.
Speaking of an old woman, though. The world's oldest person, the last survivor of the 19th century, dies at 117 years old.
This is the last person who was around in the 1800s.
Guess so.
That's incredible. That's it. They're all gone. That's amazing. That is amazing.
That's too long, right?
It's a long time. Well, it depends. I mean, if you're decrepit starting at age 70, I mean, that's almost 60 years of not good, or whatever, 50 years.
Those stories, though, where you hear someone was married for 50 years. But they've been single for another 40. It's so weird. Like,
I know.
What?
Oh, my God.
Come on. But, okay.
But if she was, like, spry well into her hundreds,
maybe
then...
Maybe she liked life.
Yeah.
That's good. That's great to hear.
I just still want to be able to get around, you know?
I don't think you're getting around at 117.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, that is too long.
Oh!
Too long is any time when someone's going to help you in the bathroom.
Also... This must have just stuck in my head when we were talking about old people and the retirement home. I mentioned Shady Oaks.
Yes.
Then Shady Oaks Retirement Village is from the movie Up.
Oh, funny.
Which I'd just seen. So it must have planted in there.
Well, you said Shady Acres, and then she said Shady Pines.
Right.
But shady is clearly the key word here for the end of days.
All right.
Hmm.
Well, that's where mine must have come from.
That's so funny.
Just watched Up.
Just stuck in your head.
By the way, Up is it's as good as it gets. Really nice. Hey, the manhunt continues for the Waffle House shooter.
Oh, they didn't find the naked guy yet?
No. I told the story completely early this morning, so I'm not going to repeat it. But that's a murderer on the run. He's
shot up a Waffle House.
FBI's top 10 most wanted on the run at the moment.
And you said that was Nashville?
It was Nashville, yes. And I can't wait to hear what they're going to do to the dad, who was given confiscated guns and gave them back to the guy. I can't wait to hear that story.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for someone to charge him.
We'll see. A new dating survey asked 5,000 single people under the age of 30 to name the top job someone could have that would make them seem more attractive.
Oh. Is rock star
it's
the top
job? It's not on there. Nope.
Athlete?
Athlete's not on there either.
Doctor.
The top five most attractive jobs a woman can have.
Okay.
Hairdresser.
Really? That's an attractive job.
Well, we all know they're the horny ones, but I'm shocked to hear that. Hairdresser.
Well, I know a couple good-looking ones.
Sure. It's not that they're, you know, they're just regular people. I actually take issue with Vinny thinking that they're rubbing their crotch on him.
Yeah, that's always weird.
That's really not... That's not cool. The poor lady's just trying to do her job, and there you are sticking your elbow in her crotch.
I'm the one?
Yeah, you're the one.
First of all, I haven't had a haircut in, I want to say, at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But going back a ways, I seem to remember that being a thing, the whole trying to get a leg up over my elbow. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Get off
Maybe
me.
Maybe your damn elbow was in the way. She's trying to cut your hair.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm sure she's humping the chair.
Anyway, hairdresser makes the list. Also, nurse, lawyer, these are the attractive jobs for a woman.
Lawyer.
Nurse, lawyer, entrepreneur, and teacher. The five most attractive jobs men can have are chef, engineer, entrepreneur, shows itself again. Something in marketing.
Oh, Scott, I was like, what is he talking about? Scott Budman, he said reporter.
Aha, adorable.
I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, referring to Vinny's list.
And something artistic.
Oh.
Entrepreneur makes both lists.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the money man, right?
Sure. Someone with big ideas. You know, a lot of people call themselves entrepreneurs and they're really just...
rich because their dad gave them money.
Or just like, they've got all these big ideas and never follow through on any of them. Like a lot of times the people on Survivor, like it'll say, you know, so-and-so entrepreneur.
Well, to me, a normal person would aspire to have their own business.
Right.
Entrepreneur, you know, a small business owner.
Right.
But an entrepreneur is, you take that to mean, oh, you're a money man of multiple businesses and big ideas.
Ideas, right.
All right. Well, that's a sexy job title, but what do you do exactly?
Yeah, what exactly do you do?
A city in China is going to let people out of traffic tickets if they confess on social media and get at least 20 likes. Extreme cultural differences. I think anyone would. Absolutely.
And I'll get 20 likes. Won't you guys?
I hope I could get 20 likes.
Well, you'd think you'd be able to get that out on the street. Do me a favor. Can you log in?
Can you please log in real quick and
look
just give me a like so I can get out of
like
this ticket? I wonder if people will withhold their, unless it feels like a very sincere apology for the infraction, that they would withhold their like.
They're going to forgive fines for minor traffic offenses, things like jaywalking and others. But to get out of the fine, you have to confess on social media and get more than 20 likes. There it is. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. I guess it's supposed to be a shame, but to me, most of us would go, get out of stuff,
right,
man. Good job.
Well, maybe culturally it is like a shameful thing to admit that you've been jaywalking or what have you. Like here, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do anything to get out of paying a fine.
Sure.
A confession on Facebook, no problem.
Sarah, can you please tell me the best candy bar? The very best, the one. Of all the candy bars, which one is the one where you would say that's the one.
Mine will be different than like.
That's why I'm asking you to answer the question.
Is there a number one on there?
There is.
I want to try to guess what the. I guess that number one is Snickers.
Nope. Snickers came in at three.
Oh. Well, my personal favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite. It depends on the day. I like peanut butter cups.
Depends on the
is that,
day.
So if you had a whole row of candy bars or candy,
Twix or
gonna,
peanut
you
butter
go
cups?
First?
Mine would be the organic peanut butter cups.
Of course
organic.
It would.
You know, if I could, for some reason, that's not on the list, so I'm guessing they're not including that in candy bar.
The peanut butter cup?
My favorite is Almond Joy. But
oh, I love Almond
how
Joy.
How about if I just say just a plain old Hershey bar?
Oh.
Oh, here it is. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups didn't count as a candy bar. They say the Reese's Sticks.
Mm. Yeah, they have the sticks.
Okay.
For the like record, it counts as a candy
sort of like
bar.
I agree. It's sold in the candy bar section.
Just because it's round, it counts as a bar.
Almond Joy came in at 10.
Oh, Almond Joy is delicious.
Uh-huh. Number one was a Kit Kat. A Kit Kat of all the
things. Kit Kats are
fun.
I like them.
Oh, yeah. I like that Reese's Stick. I never had one, but it looks good.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
What, can I see
is
it?
Like a cookie, a wafer
They're
inside?
Delicious.
Is it?
Oh, you've had it?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. It is a wafer.
You know what it almost looks like? Is a Kit Kat that has like peanut butter injected in the
You
layers.
Know what I really like, though?
What's
is
that?
An ice cream sandwich. You ever had one of those?
Hell yeah.
I think
yeah.
so. Yeah, oh, I love ice cream
Yummy.
Sandwiches. I
That'll
had one
take a candy bar down anytime.
That's true.
Ice cream wins over candy bars,
yeah.
for sure.
Twix comes in at second, Snickers third. Mm. Milky Way. Mm.
Oh, I love Milky Way.
Oh, I give Milky Ways away.
Yeah,
get
yeah
out of
I
here.
Hate Milky Ugh.
You're just trash to me.
Oh, you're yeah. crazy.
Just in my way.
A layer of caramel on there and that nougat. Is Baby Ruth on there? I love Baby Ruth.
What? No. Nestle Crunch. Oh, the original Hershey bar is at yeah. five. Nestle Crunch, Butterfinger, Toblerone.
Oh,
yeah!
I actually love Butterfinger yeah! and Toblerone.
Toblerone!
Three Musketeers comes in at nine.
Yeah, I don't like... those as much. I like. They're just like a Milky Way because
I was
no caramel.
Say, what's the difference between?
Because there's no caramel in them.
It's yeah, boring. It's even worse than a Milky Way.
Right. At least
keep your nougat.
Oh, nougat's nice.
No.
It's all nougat. Delicious.
Really?
It's just sugar. It's all just sugar. Please stop.
Yeah, woman, stop.
He's on a roll though. That's pretty good. Millennials catch a bunch of crap all the time
because,
you know, they're the next up-and-comers. They don't deserve it, I don't think. We've got a lot of good millennials out there. Look at Brent.
Looking at one right now. Hard-working
Thank
millennial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And he sings nicely, too.
Oh, my God. That was very impressive. Sing it again. Mama.
No, thanks. You can go back to
Come
the
on.
Podcast for that.
Let it out. Let it out. You feel good. It's on Monday.
According to a new survey, this is old people making themselves feel better. Millennials, don't fall for it. Just relax. Don't get all hot under the collar.
Don't go spouting on Twitter.
These are old people tripping. But anyway, here are 10 practical things people over the age of 55 are much more likely to know than millennials. How to read a clock with hands.
Oh. Doesn't that just... I feel like... I guess maybe I did get taught how to read a clock, right?
Yeah,
you used to have to
absolutely.
Draw clocks and
sure.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that anymore?
Well, probably is everything digital now?
Well, I haven't had to draw a clock in a long time.
Well, I know, but you've got kids. Did they have to draw clocks with hands?
That does sound familiar. I don't know.
Don't be a duh, Sarah.
Sorry, such a duh.
Duh. Dur George.
Dur George.
How many feet are in a yard?
Three. Oh, sorry. Three. Jesus, why am I?
You gave him the
sorry,
answer,
sorry,
you dope.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I knew that
you
already,
You looked at
though.
Me.
And I can read clocks
spot.
With hands.
Sure you can.
Like, my thing is like that already. My face for my Apple Watch is on one of those clocks with hands.
You just
have,
changed
like,
it.
That's I
sneaky.
Just change it.
You're so sneaky.
I am. Millennials are sneaky.
How to sew a button.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, yeah. To
that's
me, that's
easy.
So...
I mean, it may not be
just...
beautiful or anything, but
I
sewed
one yesterday.
You just do the X.
Yep.
Over here and over here.
Yep. Wrap it around a couple times and then tie it off.
Multiplying low numbers in your head. 7 times 7, go.
49.
Give him another one. 9 times 9.
What was that? 80 something.
81.
Oh.
I knew it.
Oh,
I knew it.
Oh, burn.
Come on. Give me a second here. I'm under pressure.
Can you do 12 times 6? That's a tough one.
12 times 6
you can?
Is 70.
No, it's 72.
Two. 72.
Oh,
that's my two.
Brin. All right.
I'm working on it.
Spelling most words without a spell checker. These are things that older folk over 55 feel like they can do much more.
Spelling overrated.
Of course you think that.
I hate spelling.
I love spelling.
You're the only one.
Nah, Yuzi likes spelling.
I like spelling, too.
Brindy likes spelling.
Juan doesn't like it.
You know what I must
say?
I do rely on spell check pretty hard nowadays.
Well, I mean, I for sure find that, you know, it's helpful. Especially when you're just, you know, the freaking autocorrect thing. For as much as I complain about it, it really does seem to be able to guess what I'm going to write.
Older folks feel like they could set a table properly and you millennials don't know what to do.
Oh.
I will say, looking at professional table setters today in 2018, it's incredible. Like, if that's your thing.
I don't even think they're talking
about professionals. If that's your thing, that's ridiculous.
Which side does the fork go on?
I forget
fork.
Right
who
now.
Eats with those? You eat a spoon.
If I give you a fork, a knife, and a spoon, put them. Put, here's the plate.
I,
put them.
I don't like you dogpiling on.
Let's see how this goes.
He's the only millennial.
The bread and the drink.
Yeah, B and D. Yeah, bread and
hey, let me help, Bryn. Just think about what hand you use the fork with.
Well, I use both of them with right hand, though. Well, let's see.
He's left-handed.
No,
it's different for him. He's left-handed.
Okay, left hand is going to be the fork.
Yeah,
then,
the
right?
fork and the All knife right. would be on the right, right?
And the reason to remember it is, and actually it goes fork on the left, knife and spoon on the right, if you're just doing a simple play setting, but it's fork has four letters and so does left. Knife has five.
Oh, for I'm crying not out that. Loud.
That's,
harder to remember than...
No, it isn't. Kidding me?
It's just the one where you would use your... Which hand? That's
well,
the
I would
way.
Use my right hand for the fork, and it goes on the left side of the plate.
What?
See, this is all
Don't you eat when you have
confusing.
Just a fork? Aren't you using your right hand?
I don't like it.
I don't use a fork. I already told you. I only use the spoon.
Yeah.
You don't eat anything you need a fork for?
I don't want to eat anything that I need a fork for.
Yeah,
I
but use do you ever
well,
use a
sure,
fork?
Sometimes.
That's the most ridiculous thing. I've never used a fork. I only use a spoon.
Well,
who
thinking,
are you?
What about like a piece of meat? But he hasn't really been eating.
I'm trying to get
of
off
meat,
meat man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about but the only one you have to use a fork for is salad?
Yeah, how about a salad or
and
some vegetables?
Spaghetti.
Or a steak or anything. You yes. Everything. Spaghetti. I use a fork for everything. No matter what I'm eating, I have a fork.
I hate forks. I'm a spoon guy.
Thank you.
Just people just want to shovel spoon into their mouths. Get this over with. I just don't understand it.
I did use a spoon yesterday for my scrambled eggs.
Oh.
Because I just wanted to shovel it in.
Oh.
I feel like this is one of the mysteries of the world that even old people I'm curious about. I will still call my mom and say, we made this on Tuesday. Can I eat it today? It's how long something can sit in the refrigerator before it needs to be thrown out.
Well,
apparently, people over 55 feel like they've got a better handle on that than
because
millennials
they've eaten enough
do.
Things that are rotten. I really always think that's just a smell test. I mean, you can tell by looking at it and then going, "Yep, that's fine."
You smell it?
Absolutely. Don't you?
And you feel like that's the designation? No, I usually will if there's any chance.
Like, how does it look and does it smell bad?
Then I don't eat it.
Yeah, if it smells bad.
I can't trust my nose like that. What if it's 1 second from turning stinky?
Then it's
you
so
just
fine.
Got there. No, what?
If it's one, you got there in time. You ate it in time. I mean, I'm going to heat it up
That's
anyway,
the
right?
dumbest
well,
gauge of
know,
all times.
I don't have to look at it or smell it. I know when I cook that,
right.
So I know how long it's been.
Well, if you know when you cooked it, you're all set. If it's a mystery item that's in the fridge, usually if I can't tell what it is from the outside of the packaging... And I'm like, that's, I feel like that's, I just threw the whole thing.
Okay,
out.
Let me ask you a question. I made two hamburgers, but only ate one on Monday.
Okay?
Last Monday?
Monday. Just
today.
Any Monday.
You're just giving
I'm just giving
today.
You
okay.
a hypothetical
yeah.
for crying out loud. I made two burgers. I ate one. Mm-hmm. I put one in a Tupperware in the fridge on Monday. And now it's Thursday at 5 p.m.
Me,
Can
no.
I,
I think
I,
that you
I
it's
it
fully
out.
Cooked, and you're gonna yeah I would eat that on Thursday. It's only been 3 days.
Yeah, there's no way I'd eat that.
We'll see. We have a problem.
But I'd open it and smell it and look at it, and I'd be like, "This seems fine.
It seems fine. I don't want to have to be guessing."
Yeah, that's
about
what I'm
what
trying
I'm
to
eating.
Say too.
Well, I'm gonna heat it back up, and I eat a cold hamburger.
And Lord knows what's gonna happen later on.
So
if I'm gonna risk being sick later,
right?
In terms of the internet. It says properly stored cooked ground beef will last 3 to 4 days in the fridge.
Yeah, that feels like an okay amount of time.
So 4 days is the max.
Friday, Saturday, I'm getting a little, I'm like,
Hey,
Sarah.
That was not me.
It wasn't.
We're going to take a quick break.
Oh, okay.
We are going to come back and give away Taylor Swift tickets. Stand by.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.